It's time to tee it high and let it fly on the Tee Florida.
I demand satisfaction.
On the Tampa Bay Sports Connection Radio Network. Live from the 19th Hole Studios inside Ferg's Sports Bar and Grill.
How about a Fresca?
Bringing you the week's coverage of all things golf.
He's got to be pleased with that.
From PGA to NCAA. And now...
Well, we're waiting.
Let's tee off with Mike Rickard, Oscar Gamer, and John Rieger.
Good morning and welcome to On the Tee Florida on the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection Radio Network. You got nothing there, brother? Yeah, maybe you unplugged it.
Okay, no.
All right. Just a little technical difficulty as we tee off on number one. I need a mulligan. On this March 25th, I'm Mike Rickard, head of the Hack Nation. We tee it up with the entertainment lifestyle guru, Tom Gribben. Notice how I said Gribben, not Gribbins.
Yes, yes.
I said Rieger for 4 months, and it's Rager. So don't feel bad about
that. I heard Gribben. Him say that the first time I was on. It's Rager.
It's Rager. He never corrected me. He'll correct me in a few minutes. We'll bring him on. Anyway, we are live from our church right here at the Ferg Sports Bar and Grill, 19th Hole Clubhouse Studios, across from Tropicana Field. We'll have a Red Sox invasion here at 105 as the last spring game of the year takes place across the street. We are, as I like to say, about a driver and a pitching iron and two putt for Gribben and one putt for, well, maybe a one putt for Tom now that he's got a putting green in his backyard.
Absolutely.
And probably a one putt for our good friend up there, Crescent Beach, Florida. He is the mayor of Crescent Beach, Florida. He's back from a cruise. He had a golf tournament on the cruise. What a better time to bring him in. And he's John Rieger in Crescent Beach. Welcome back, my friend.
Hey, it's great to be back. Looking forward to another great show this week. I know we have three big topics to discuss. We'll eventually get to them all. We're going to talk about the Dell Match Play Technologies tournament on the PGA Tour. We're going to talk about bifurcation. And most of our listeners probably never even heard of that word when it comes to golf. We're going to talk a little bit about that. And finally, next week, we'll be talking about LIV Golf, and we've got media credentials, Mike. I just received them in the email yesterday, and we'll be over there covering the LIV Golf to see what that's all about.
Yeah, I got mine as well, thanks to you, and I'm looking forward to just checking it out so that I can talk somewhat logically on whether I want to embrace that format of 54 holes, 48 golfers. And a lot of the guys that they wrote some deep checks to have not certainly performed of late. We can talk about that later. Hey, our cart girl, Patty, you missed Mr. Patty Suzette. She was down last weekend. We had a great time, John. We didn't get as much golf to discuss because you weren't in the equation. But it was Kerry McNally, Tom and I and Patty. And we had a great time. She's actually everybody's going on cruises. She's in Puerto Rico. You went on a cruise. Tom, where are you going next?
I'm hanging home.
Hanging home and putting. But how was the cruise, brother?
Hey, it was fantastic. Yeah, for Tom, life is a cruise. So why does he need to go on a cruise?
Hey, exactly. Hey, John, did you get to hit any off the stern?
Well, what we do is they changed all the laws, so you don't really hit golf balls off of a ship anymore. So they tend to stay with nets and simulators. And we later on in the show, we'll talk about the wonder of the scenes. Dunes Invitational will tell you who won that and how that went. But, yes, we can't go anywhere without having some sort of golf competition.
And as I said, I'm amazed at your lovely bride, Karen, allowing you, because you talk golf, walk out, sleep golf, 365 days out of the year. You think you could give her 7 days. But you guys, you got some golf in. So,
I did most of the golf stuff when she was asleep, so that's why... it wasn't that intrusive for
24 hour a day here, huh? That's great.
Hey, do you want to go over the leaderboards now? You got anything in front of you? You want me to handle that, or where do you want to roll, my friend?
Mike, why don't you take it away with the leaderboard for the Dell Technologies? Plus, I know you keep up really well with the PGA Tour champions, and I think they're out in Rancho Mirage. So, take it away, Mike.
Well, as I look for my leaderboards. I'll go to the LPGA and butcher these names. Of course, it's at the Drive On Championship. And Maria Judegarn I think that's pretty close. She sits on top at 1,200 with Maddie Zierlich, Jenny Shin, Lilia Vu from the U.S., and they sit at 1,200 and sitting in 15th right now, Nelly Korda at 8-under. She had a nice day, rallied, and that's all I got on the LPGA right now as I look for my leaderboards.
Well, you know, Mike, you've done a great job of learning how to pronounce some of these names, but on that one, the couple there, I couldn't tell if you were getting ready to sneeze or not.
Maria Jadagulangarn. We're going with that. That rolled right off my tongue. Let's go with the Corrales Punta Cana Championship at Corrales Golf Club, and that's in the Dominican Republic. Matt Wallace sitting on top at 11-under. Wyndham Clark one back, and Sam Stevens 10-under. This is another one of those events that we've been discussing, where it's like we're doing the lineup for a Triple A ball club in Major League Baseball. I think you'd have to agree with that.
Yeah, no one's really going to be paying attention to that event. It's a shame there's a lot of great young players and even some established names on the tour that aren't in the top 50 that are playing in this event. So, again, you know, an event like this may not get the television time. It's certainly not going to get the attention. And that's got to be a little worrisome for the PGA Tour because it's like having the Daytona 500 but then having another NASCAR race somewhere. No one's going to pay attention to that. So, but yet, it's a wonderful place. Punta Cana is a wonderful place to be in the Dominican Republic. I think Julio Iglesias is a member there, so it's quite a place.
There's a name from the past, Julio Iglesias. Didn't he do a piece with Willie Nelson or all the girls I used to know?
Julio.
Wasn't that the song?
I think Tom's the expert on that.
Yeah, that was Julio and Willie.
Yeah, what a unique combo at that time.
Well, the girls I've loved before.
Yeah, that was a great song. Got a lot of mileage. Well, there's only two names I even recognize in the top 25. Well, there's three now. Kevin, four. D.A. Points, Kevin Tway, Sean O'Hare, and I think that's it. Yeah, and Harry Hall. Those are the only, you can't even call them notables, John.
Well, I know they've all won PGA Tour events. You know, all of them have won at least one tour event out there. So I know Sean O'Hare hasn't won something in about 10 years or so. But yet, you know, it's worth watching. If you're an avid golfer, it's worth watching. It's a lot of fun to watch these guys play. But yet, at the same time, you're just not going to get the attention that the marquee event's going to get. And it's going to get worse next year with in 2024, you're going to have not only these elevated events, but there won't be a cut in these events either. But we'll talk a little bit about that later after we go through the Dell Technology Leaderboard.
Let me jump to the Champions Tour first, and then we'll go to Dell. The Gallery Classic, of course, it's at the Dinosaur Tournament Course in Rancho Mirage, California. You've probably been there. I'm certain you have. David Tom's on top. I haven't seen him on top of a Champions Leaderboard for a while at 7-under. Kevin Sutherland, sitting at 6-under, Richard Green, 6-under, and then Padraig Harrington. I remember one of my guys butchering that. Padraig Harrington sitting at 5-under. Rock's been playing pretty decently lately. Rocco Media sitting at 5-under, Rod Pampling, and then Vijay Singh all jumbled up there at 5-under, and Freddie Couples at 4-under. And that's your Gallery Classic. So,
hey, Mike, I want to add something about that Champions Tour. I was watching a little bit of it this morning. They had this pairing of Steve Stricker, Steve Alker, and Jim Furyk. And most of them, they're all in their young 50s, you know, and that's when you're the most viable on the Champions Tour. But they combined for 20 victories. And Steve Alker isn't a household name on the Champions Tour, but he actually won 5 times on the Corn Ferry Tour years ago. So it's not like he's a stranger and a Cinderella story just came out on the Champions Tour, but yet he's won 5 times in the past year. So great golf watching there. What a marquee group to watch and a beautiful place to play a Champions Tour event.
Okay, now let's go to the Dell Championship in Austin, Texas, and a great city for music. I'm sure you've spent quite a bit of time there.
One of the top music cities in the country. Yes, yeah, sir.
And one of the things I got to ask you, what they start on Wednesday. Why do they start on Wednesday? Because that's how much they have to squeeze in. And I've watched it, and I know, you know, through the first 2 days, who's undefeated and who's advancing. But now I guess I'm kind of lost. Did they change the format a bit, John?
Well, they had to. What they did was they changed it where you had 3 days of golf in what they would call groupings. And they had 16 groupings. And what they would do is they had four players in every grouping, and they would, you know, they would play each other once. And that whoever came on top of that grouping, whether they won it outright or sometimes they even had to have a playoff to determine who won that grouping, then they would go on to the Sweet 16. Now, the reason for that is the PGA Championship, I'll give you an example, way back in the 50s, used to be a match play championship in the sense that it was a major golf championship, always has, always will be. But they changed it to stroke play because what would happen is you would get in a match play championship and, you know, you could have Jack Nicklaus go home right away. He can lose the first round and he's done. And you end up, sometimes you might have all the cream rise to the top, sometimes you don't. So what this does, this ensures that there's no flukes here. If somebody's playing very, very solid for 3 days, they don't get knocked out. But it is the amount of golf you have to play. So you have to play Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. And now today is this 36 holes for those who survive. So it's the Sweet 16 version of golf. And then this afternoon, they'll narrow it down to 8. Tomorrow morning, they'll have 4. And then what will happen in the afternoon, they'll still have 4, but 2 people will be playing for the championship and 2 people will be playing in the Constellation. So that's how you squeeze it all in. But I want to talk a little bit about something about this tournament, because it's the last one. It's the last match play tournament. This tournament is going to disappear, and it's very, very ironic. This tournament basically started in 1999. That's when Greg Norman was trying to get, and through Rupert Murdoch, he wasn't able to raise the funding, but what he's doing with LIV Golf now is something that he tried back in the late 90s, and he just couldn't get the funding for it, and the PGA Tour went ahead and threw him under the bus and decided they're going to have these world golf events, these elevated events, have all the tours in the world collaborate. They created the International Federation of Golf Tours. And so what happened was the world golf events were only for like the top 50. And so this is one of those events, and it's disappearing because of the elevated events that are going to be coming on board in 24. This tournament will no longer beyond the PGA Tour. It's a real shame. Dell's been a great sponsor. In the years, they've raised $6-7 million for local charities. It's a very unique golf course. It's a very distinctive golf course. And yes, it's in the live music capital of the world. And I can tell you that it's a shame to see a tournament like this disappear. But years later, and if you read the John Rager report, Golf Travel and Lifestyle, if you go to johnrager.com, you'll see a link to it. If you just follow us on Facebook, you just type in On the Tee Florida Golf or John Rager Golf Report. You'll see on Instagram, Facebook, LinkedIn, and Twitter, you'll see the report. And I titled this, How Ironic, you know, it's the final year of the WGC Dell Technologies Match Play Tournament. So with that, I know that's pretty long-winded on it, but the news is about the play, and maybe Scottie Scheffler will keep retaining his number one ranking in the world, and there's a lot of storylines, and Rory's playing there, and you've got that par four you can drive. So that's the big story about this tournament. But the disappointing thing is now it's being replaced by yet another event next year on the elevated status.
I'll go over the Sweet 16, and then I've got some humor for all of us to dive into.
Hey, did you see Rory drive the par four he's talking about?
Well, I saw him drive it, and then I also saw him going to the drink.
Okay.
Yeah, saw him do both. Max Homa, Mackenzie Hughes, these guys all tee off this morning, and that's the round of 16 matchups, and then we got some this afternoon. Patrick Cantlay, saw a little of him earlier. Sam Burns, Cooch, he actually has tied Tiger Woods for most appearances in this event at 36, taking on Jason Day. Scottie Scheffler, of course, he's right at home down there with JT Poston. Xander Schauffele versus J.J. Spahn. J.J. played very well yesterday. Rory McIlroy versus Lucas Herbert. And you know the unique thing about Rory McIlroy in this event, and I heard the conversation, it kind of surprised me. They're actually, John, kind of experimenting, maybe a different club here or there or working on a swing in preparation for the Masters in a couple weeks. And they're using this tournament with some of that experimentation. That seems a little odd.
Well, that's the time to do it, and I know that the luxury of being able to do that when, if you're maybe a less established player and you're trying to win it, you may not want to mess around, but, you know, a tournament win here for Rory would mean something but it wouldn't mean as much as a victory at Augusta National. So at that particular point, for him, yeah, now it's time to explore a little bit. Yeah, but some of these guys are so good, you know, they can take a broom and hit it into the hole in the fewest strokes possible. So it might be a little bit different, but I don't think that's a big deal.
Then we got Andrew Putnam and Kurt Katayama and Billy Horschel, Cameron Young, Max Homa, Mackenzie Hughes versus Pat. Oh, this is the teams this afternoon then. That's where I get a little confused. So you got Max Homa, Mackenzie Hughes versus Patrick Cantlay and Sam Burns. Of course, Sam Burns, two-time winner at the Valspar. Matt Kuchar, Jason Day versus Scotty Scheffler, JT Poston. Xander Schauffele, J.J. Spahn versus Rory and Lucas Herbert. And then Andrew Putnam, Kurt Kanayama with Billy Horschel, Cameron Young.
Matches are actually going on right now as we speak. They're playing in the morning. And then they'll go ahead and figure out who won and prepare for the afternoon. So once you get done listening to this radio show, you need to go to the Golf Channel and dial in there and take a look, and you're going to see the matches in progress.
Gotcha. All right, guys, this is right up our alley. Since you were such genius to come up with the cart girl, with Eddie Suzette, or cart girl, breaking news, John Rager, and I know that you know, you remember her. I watched her drooling at my office. I watched the Golf Channel all the time, specifically because former Golf Channel host Holly Saunders, have you ever seen her?
Yes.
Okay, so you know what I'm talking about. She's launching a new sports league. Have you seen this, John?
Yes, I have. In fact, I shared that with Wild Bill Ciro this week, trying to take his temperature on whether we should even talk about this on the radio.
We're talking about it, brother.
What's the sports league?
So I apologize to Karen, but Bill said we'd get bigger ratings if we talked about the new Topless Sports League.
Topless Sports League. So we're not going there. However, sex appeal and golf obviously are a hot button, my friend. You're on to something.
A lot of slices.
Yeah, a lot of slices. Are you kidding me? Oh, my God. Yeah.
Well, you know, Mike, over the years, I've kept abreast of the situation, and I can tell you that years ago, they created the Lingerie Football League. I don't know if you're familiar with that, but
I remember that.
An old friend, a football player named Bob Huco, was involved in that. I'm not sure if they're still playing or not, but I can tell you that this is, I guess, the next step. I'm not sure how you're going to broadcast this. If they're going to play this right after Live Golf on the CW app, I'm not sure. You're going to have to look at it online and click that you're 18 and over to watch it. But you know, it's kind of interesting to actually have created a league, and it's going to be a real league. I think there's real athletes, so I think this is a real competition.
Well, she announced the launch of her new topless league, and suffice it to say, there are no complaints over here. That's just one of the many comments that are on social media. I interviewed Eric Casillas, I don't know, 7-8 years ago, when he was still at the Golf Channel, and then he lined up Holly for him, but she never did. She actually left the station before we got the interview taking place. But I talked to Eric Casillas about her, and I didn't realize she was such an accomplished golfer at Michigan State and a looker like this. But he left his wife for Eric Casillas. She left her significant, and he left his wife, and those two were together for quite some time. And now she's with some guy that's a professional gambler in Las Vegas. So she's gone a 360 from being on the Golf Channel to now being in Sin City and launching the Topless League.
Hey, Mike, I got a question for you and Tom. I know if we get media credentials, do we have to go topless too to cover that event?
Good question.
Yeah, we'd be exited off the course. I can tell you that right now. Why don't we take a break? We'll come back, and I got some more fun facts. I don't know if they're facts, but breaking news, and John Rager's on top of it. Hey, by the way, nice post. Was it yesterday or today? The state of Florida. You are a talented graphics man, my man.
Hey, when we come back from break, we're going to talk about the Wonder of the Seas, Dunes Invitational, and a few other things, and looking forward to our chat about bifurcation.
All right. I don't even know what that is. I'm going to Google it while we're on break. We'll be back. Tom Gribbins and I are down at the 19th Hole Clubhouse Studios. John Rager up there at Crescent Beach, Florida. We'll be back on the T Florida live from Ferg Sports Bar and Grill, 19th Hole Clubhouse Studios.
18 holes never felt so good. We're on the tee from the 19th Hole Studios at Ferg Sports Bar and Grill on the Tampa Bay Sports Connection Radio Network.
This is Mike Rickard, and I personally want to welcome our new supporter and partner, my Iowa friend, Barb with Tampa Bay. Barb Grossenheider is with First Class Real Estate Gulf to Bay, and Barb brings her Midwest work ethic, her integrity, her commitment to every client, combined with her knowledge as she grew up in a family of home construction success for decades. Barb's energy and her bubbly personality take the stress out of the challenge of home buying in today's difficult market. I assure you, I've recommended her to my friends, and I look forward to spreading her professional service to all of Tampa Bay. So reach out today with Barb from Tampa Bay, barbwithtampabay@gmail.com, or give her a call at 813-564-4134. That's Barb with Tampa Bay. Give her a call today, 813-564-4134.
Ferg Sports Bar and Grill at the corner of 13th and Central, across from the Trop in downtown St. Pete, serving Tampa Bay for over 29 years, is your iconic headquarters to catch your favorite teams in action with over 95 televisions, 35,000 square feet to serve private parties, game watching events, concerts, and of course all the Rays, Bucks, and Lightning action, along with your favorite collegiate teams. Join the party every game at Ferg Sports Bar and Grill.
I'm Captain Jeff Figgers from Florida Fishing and Adventures. Do you want to constantly catch more fish, spend less time changing baits? If so, Monster 3X baits, jigs, and scents are the answer. Monster 3X baits are tough, durable, and resistant, which allows you to catch more fish per bait. The combination of the Monster 3X lure with the ProCure Bait Super Scent, you will be landing more fish right away. Whether it's the Monster 3X Ultra Soft or the X Swim lures, swim shad, paddle tails, crawfish, or the X Frog, Monster 3X, you'll always find it in my tackle box.
Welcome back to On the Tee Florida. I'm Mike Ricker, sitting across from Tom Gribbin and John Rager up there on Crescent Beach, Florida. And I tell you what, Rager, you know, you bring all this information that typically I'm stumbling, fumbling, bumbling, and Googling on all three laptops trying to figure out what you're talking about. But that's why I brought St. Pete's most interesting man into our conversations and into our team. Because this is a no-brainer for you, wasn't it?
Well, when he said bifurcation, I mean, in law, that's when you separate the issues. You know, you have one case and you split them, you bifurcate the issue. So it'll be interesting to see how that applies to golf.
All right, Rager, you're up.
Well, yeah, one of the big news in the world of golf recently, within the last week or so, was the USGA and the RNA came out with bifurcation of the golf ball, meaning that they're going to limit the distance that golf balls can go in major championships, and for, you know, not only for majors, but for the standard for any professional golf and elite players. And elite players means that you're scratch golfers and you're even at your local country club. And there's a lot of controversy on that because this has been talked about for years. Jack Nicklaus has been a big proponent of it. And if you notice how far these tour players hit it today, well, sometimes some of these golf courses can be made obsolete. But at the same time, you know, when they played the U.S. Open in Marion, just outside Philadelphia, they don't overpower that golf course because all you got to do is, you know, the greens get really fast. You grow the rough in. They're not going to overpower the golf course. So I know that a lot of these distance challenges can be taken care of, maybe with a little bit better golf course design. Maybe you're going to have to put some bunkers in landing areas that are 350 yards off the tee now, and those kind of things, or grow the rough in a little bit more. But recently, the big news at Augusta National of this was when they extended the par 5, number 13, where they added like 50 more yards. They had to buy property and from Augusta Country Club, which is literally next door, to make it longer so the players just can't hit a driver wedge into it. So those are kind of things that, yes, you know, Augusta National has the money and the resources to be able to go do those things. But a lot of golf courses are landlocked. They're not going to really be able to to expand. So they came out with this rule, bifurcation. So what that means is that the average golfer can play whatever golf ball they want, but if you're an elite golfer or you're a professional golfer in your major championships, you're going to be able to play a ball that's different, that the manufacturers scaled back a little bit so they don't overpower the golf courses. And a lot of controversy. I know the organization I'm a member of, the PGA of America, their stance is they don't want to see that. Just you know, the manufacturers themselves, they have a significant input into the game of golf, but also the financial health of the game of golf, because people buy a lot of golf balls. And if you start tinkering around, one of the things as an average golfer, Mike, you could pick up a golf ball right now at your pro shop. You know, you might have to spend $5 a ball for a Pro V1. You can play. It's basically the same ball that they're playing on the PGA Tour. Basically the same thing, and that's the beauty of it. But the USGA and the RNA, they're not for that. The Masters is kind of staying silent on it, as they always do. They'll put out a statement when Fred Woodley, chairman of Augusta National, does his talk at the beginning of the Masters each year of the state of the Masters, state of golf, things like that. I'm sure he's going to deal with it. But that's what bifurcation is, and I'm glad we have a cowboy author, lawyer on staff here, so we can make sure that we can cover all the terms. But Tom, you're right. Bifurcation, you just absolutely nailed it. Took me about 17 minutes to explain it, but you got it done in 30 seconds.
Well, you know, does that mean the hackers get to use the unlimited ball?
unfortunately, for example, I know you seem to be a good stick. I've never seen you play, but your reputation precedes you on your skills as a golfer. But Mike, whose swing's been described as a fist fight in a telephone booth, can pay any ball he wants. It won't make a difference.
I was going to say, what are you thinking that any golfer like me could...
So you and Charles Barkley can use the unlimited ball, is what he's saying.
Well, yeah, and you think I would ever spend $5 on a ball that's life expectancy is probably three swings? Yeah, especially if there's water around? Hell no!
You know, in the John Rager report this week, you'll see on bifurcation, you'll see that I put a link on a conversation between Brandel Chamblee, who you know is not a fan of LIV Golf, and a guy named Mark Brody, who's basically one of the top stats guys in the game of golf. And Mark concluded that it doesn't make a difference no matter how far the ball goes. It really doesn't. It's not like they're hitting more wedges into greens nowadays. It's not like they're, even though the driving distance is more, it doesn't mean the strokes averages are going down on the PGA Tour any. So, and they were having this conversation back and forth. And Lee Westwood, who is a LIV golfer, the famous English golfer, went on record, and he says, well, I actually agree with Brandel Chamblee on this for the first time in a long time. So even both sides of the aisle, whether it's LIV Golf, the Tour, PGA of America, a lot of them are all just looking at it like, let's not mess with that. Let's just go ahead and play the game of golf.
Bad in baseball, you could have one of those loaded balls in your pocket and drop it out there when you need it.
Thanks for the tip there, Tom. Anything I could do. In fact, you guys are talking about the quality of balls. I've been known before, just to get a laugh out of people, go to a swanky country club that maybe my friends reluctantly took me to. I had to borrow some people's clothing, a car to show up. And then I've whipped out a range ball on number one tee. and I typically did it when I was one of my uppity friends who might have brought a couple of their uppity banker types, and they looked over at him like, who in the hell did you just bring to this track?
You know, from my years of building and operating golf courses, one of the things you have to do for your members, because members, they come first, and you have to kind of pamper them, but at the same time, you have to enforce the rules sometimes, and one of the rules is don't play golf with a range ball, but you have to do it in just the right way. So we had to put out on our newsletter, please do not use the golf balls with racing stripes on them on the golf course. So if you call them racing stripes versus range balls, you can get away with it, Mike.
What's the reasoning for that? Because the range is that close, or they know that you swiped them from their range?
Well, because those balls, you just swipe them and you go play with them, and you're not going to buy a golf ball in the golf shop. So You know, and actually, you don't really want to play with range balls. Range balls are limited distance. You can't hit them quite as far anyway. And plus, the golfers, not only do they swipe them off the range, they hit them in the water. And then you could send the water ball collector guy out there, and you have to pay 10 cents the ball, and you end up having to pay hundreds of dollars for your own range balls that he recovered.
Yeah. Hey, my old man, God rest his soul, he was an attorney. And just a hack, but played the game. He was on the board of several golf courses. He just enjoyed the game thoroughly. He was one of those pains in the ass. He always had his stogie going, but he's over there with his extender in the water. He's walking down the fairway. If there's some fescue there, he's swiping his club to see if there's any balls. He was a prolific ball finder and slowed up the pace, and people said towards the end of his life they didn't want to play with them anymore because he really got bad about it. And he didn't sell them, he gave them away, but it would hold up the freaking round, you know what I'm saying?
Well, you know, it's actually kind of a way of life. It's kind of like a culture. I can attest to this by personally observing Wild Bill Theroux out there with when he gets his golf ball collection. Here's a guy, according, you know, and Tom will recognize this, there's that Jimmy Buffett song, it's talked about having enough money to buy Miami. Well,
yeah.
You know, well, Phil, he's got enough money to buy Miami, but you look, he's got the ball extender out there. You know, I don't think he's ever bought a golf ball in his life. He just likes to find these golf balls and play with them. And then he actually marks them up with all kinds of graffiti and things like that. So, you know, to me, it's not so matter of being cheap. I think it's just being a matter of being eccentric, and it's a culture. It's a way of life. And there's nothing like finding a $5 golf ball in a pond. That's better sometimes than making a birdie.
I agree. It's like the rich guys out on the beach with the metal detectors. It's just a culture.
Well, or it's a hobby.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or it's a hobby. Hey, why don't we take our second break of this hour? When we come back, and several topics I want to talk about. Ricky Fowler and how he's advancing, and how critical it is for him to advance further this weekend to make the cut at the Masters. And then I want to talk a little history. When Tom showed up today, he started throwing a little St. Petersburg golf history, which I know you're familiar with, John. So let's take a break. We'll be back here on the T Florida live from the 19th hole clubhouse studios at Ferg's Sports Bar and Grill on a Boston Red Sox and Tampa Bay Rays game at 105, about like I said, a driver away from us. We'll be back on the tee.
18 holes never felt so good. We're on the tee from the 19th hole studios at Ferg Sports Bar and Grill on the Tampa Bay Sports Connection Radio Network.
Ferg Sports Bar and Grill, serving Tampa Bay for 29 years, voted the Bay's best wings and sports bar, located across from Tropicana Field, is your sports headquarters and private party destination. Weekly live music, axe throwing, dog park, Rays Bucks and Lightning watch parties, every game, and 95 televisions to guarantee your favorite team's games are always on. Ferg Sports Bar and Grill, Tampa Bay's iconic sports and party headquarters.
What does Sea Dog Brewing and Shipyard Tampa Bay Tailgate have in common? Both are world-class experiences, owned by the same people. Want a great place to spend some time with friends this holiday season? The place to be is Sea Dog Treasure Island, 9610 Gulf Boulevard. Why Sea Dog, you ask? Well, it's locally owned with locally produced brew right here in Florida. It's also a place for fun, food, and drink on the coastal Blind Pass waterfront, ice pick draft drinks, Sea Dog Blue Paw, and a Mug Club rewards program. Get all this to go with a family-owned breakfast experience with homemade biscuits and more. Open 8 a.m. to late night. Check it out at treasure.seadogbrewing.com. While there, enter to win Tampa Bay tailgate tickets near Ray J for Bucks home games. Sea Dog Brewing, Treasure Island. It's where Tampa Bay family and friends go to enjoy life from breakfast to late night. 9610 Gulf Boulevard, Shipyard, Sea Dog Brewing. Check it out at treasure.seadogbrewing.com.
We're on to the next hole. And on the tee from the 19th hole studios at Ferg Sports Bar and Grill on the Tampa Bay Sports Connection Radio Network.
Eddie was the greatest of all time.
I don't know. Mickey Mantle did. I mean, he...
Nobody calls Mickey Mantle the greatest of all time.
A lot of people do. Mickey and Reggie.
Oh, Babe Ruth struck out.
Welcome back to On the Tee Florida. We got caught up in a baseball conversation. We weren't paying attention. As next at 12:05, we'll have the Tampa's MP Sports Connection. So stay tuned, and we will have a conversation regarding baseball as well as March Madness and all kinds of conversation in the great world of sport. We're brought to you by Sea Dogs Ice Pick and, of course, Shipyard Brewing. Our good friend Fred Forsley. We had him on a couple of weeks ago. And I know you've been enjoyed. Hey, did you smuggle any Ice Pick vodka onto the cruise?
No, we played it straight and narrow. You're allowed to bring two bottles of wine on. So we did that because we would be the sorry souls that they would actually look for contraband like that, and we'd be kicked off the ship. And we only waited a couple years since the COVID to take this cruise. So the answer is no. But on the ship itself, we went ahead and requested Ice Pick vodka. They didn't serve it on the Royal Caribbean line. So we got to give our sponsor and tell them to get that stocked in all the bars. They would really do well on that.
I got a hammer Fred on that. You need some Ice Pick vodka, some nice smooth vodka. And, of course, we're also brought to you by our good friends. I was over there the other night. Shrimpy's Waterfront. Johnny's got 22 televisions over there for you to watch March Madness the rest of the weekend. And then, of course, next week on Thursday down here at Ferg's, it will be a madhouse. It's the Detroit Tigers against the Tampa Bay Rays. Opening day is always pretty much a packed house, and we'll talk a little bit about that in the next hour as well. So Ricky Fowler. I can't remember what the equation is for him to be invited to the Masters. You got any clue up there, John?
Yeah, I do. He took down John Rahm. That's right. He actually won two matches, but he didn't make it out of his grouping. He won the match yesterday. He beat John Rahm. But here's what happens is he had to get out of the grouping. He had to be in the top 16 to be able to have any chance to play at Augusta to move him up into the top 50. So right now he's at 59. And there's a couple different iterations about that. But basically, I don't think you're going to have anybody drop out of where he's going to be able to play. But he gave it a good go. He actually had a very good tournament. He won two matches, lost one. But at 59, he needs to be right at 50 to get in. It's just not going to happen now.
Well, it's good. It's good for the game, and it's especially good because a lot of people were frowning on the fact that he was going to be one of those selected to these events just because of his marketability, his likability, his name as a brand essentially, and now he's proven it with his game.
Well, yeah, and also the year in 2018, when Patrick Reed won the Masters, Ricky shot 14 under and lost by one shot. He was that close on winning the Masters. I think Ricky's going to be back in the Masters. I think he's going to be back next year. He's playing very well this year. It's not the slump that he's experiencing. He's very, very popular, and everybody loves this guy. And he's actually got a lot of PR skills, and he's a generally good person. In fact, when Arnold Palmer passed away, the family asked Ricky to be kind of like the host professional since Arnold had passed for a year or two, and he accepted to do that. So with that, we wish him the best, and you're going to see Ricky in the Masters next year. Guarantee it.
Well, that'll be great for the game as well as for him. Okay, there was another top. Oh, I know. So let's take a trip back in time. So Tom shows up today, and I know you're a historian. You love history, but he starts throwing some factoids at me about what a golf town St. Petersburg was.
It was growing up here. They had the St. Pete Open Invitational. For years, Sam Snead, Ben Hogan, all won it. And I was a kid. My mother dragged me out there. Arnie and Jack were playing. And Jack was just a roly-poly kid with a crew-cut hair.
From Ohio State?
Yeah. And my mom said, come on, we're going to go out and follow Jack today. Of course, she was in love with Jack Burke Jr. And when I got out there, I said, I don't want to follow him. But, St. Pete was a big golf town every year. And then the LPGA had the Open over here at the old Sunset Course. It's now the Vinoy Course. We went out and saw Marilyn Smith and Patty Berg and all of them. This was a big golf town.
Well, and those are two. historic tracks that are still, you know, St. Pete Country Club just went through a remake.
Right. That was Lakewood at the time. Right.
And in Vinoy. And as I alluded, you know, my Hall of Fame career as a kart jockey at two different locations, I thoroughly enjoyed being over there at St. Pete Country Club, walking up and down the aisles because they had two hallways of the history. And it's pretty cool.
I got my first hole-in-one there on the 167-yard par 3.
How old were you?
I was 16 years old.
Damn. I'm 66, and I haven't. I actually down in the
You heard me say my first hole-in-one.
Yeah. How many have you had?
Three.
Oh, my God. John, how many have you had?
I've had three also.
Holy moly.
I remember the pro there, Skip Alexander. I remember him coming out. And he had the bank out there made these really cool trophies for people who got holes in one. They only had to make, you know, a couple a year. And so it was a big deal the day I got mine.
So 167, do you remember what club you had?
Yeah, it's embarrassing. I hit a 4-iron.
So what? You're 16 years old. I would use a 4-iron right now. What do you mean? It's embarrassing.
No, I laugh about it. I used a 4-iron, you know, now.
Where were your other two at?
What's that? Well, down in Miami at the Key Biscayne course, same hole.
How far?
The eighth hole. Again, it was about 160 yards. I was hitting like eight irons there.
So you actually gotten older and hit better. An eight iron. John, where are your hole-in-ones at? It's kind of well, like yeah, kid
about
his first home run. They remember exactly where they're at.
You never forget your first hole-in-one, and I remember I was a young golfer. I was recruited by the College of Charleston. I went up there, had never seen the school, never been to Charleston. I'm up there, I'm 2 days into being there, and I played in this amateur tournament right before school started at a golf course called the Admiralty. And being a kid in college, I used to always work in a golf shop while I was going to school. So I knew the ins and outs when you run a tournament, how member guests are run, and this and that and the other. So I'm playing in this tournament. I don't know anybody. I'm just some young punk. In those days, amateur golf, too, was a lot different. You had a lot of businessmen that played top-shelf amateur golf. It wasn't dominated by college kids. So I was able to play in this golf tournament. And I knew they had open bar on a Friday night. I knew the economics of it. I knew they had open bar. So I make a hole-in-one. And I knew it was open bar. But a lot of people sometimes, they don't pay attention to it. So I went upstairs, you know, because word got around that I made a hole-in-one. I walked up there, and I said, attention, everybody. You know, my name is John Rager, and I'm a College of Charleston golfer, and I'm just new to the area. I just made a hole-in-one. Drinks on me.
Bravo.
Yeah, I can't see me doing that at 16.
I was showered with business cards and all kinds of opportunities to play golf everywhere. I kind of got my start as, you know, into the business of golf. All of a sudden, I had instant friends everywhere in the golf community in Charleston, oh, yeah. South Carolina.
You know, it's funny. On my first hole-in-one, everybody saw it, but man, I kind of lost it. And the guys I was playing with, everybody started, you know, cheering, and the people over on the street, you know, were all cheering. And it went in the cup. And so I told myself I have to get another one so I could see it.
And you got two more.
The years, I mean, you know.
What was your third one? You didn't tell me your third one.
Both of them were at the Key Biscayne.
Oh, they both were.
Yeah, I used to play that all the time.
Oh, okay. John, where was your second one that where you had to actually spend your own money for a round?
Well, my second one, I was a young college golf coach, and I made it during a practice round of a golf tournament. So drinking was obviously not allowed per NCAA rules. So I got off scot-free on that one. And in my third one, I was the managing partner of the Country Club of Ocala. And I had my son out there the day after New Year's Day. So it was like a Monday. The club was open, but nobody was there playing. It was just everybody was so hungover and worn out from the holidays. There was like two people on the golf course. It was me and my son. And I make a hole-in-one. So I immediately went from the eighth hole at the Country Club Ocala with my son. We went to the clubhouse because we're going to buy drinks for somebody. And there's one old guy sitting at the bar doing some day drinking. And so I got off scot-free on that one. I had to buy
one. You got off scot-free two out of your three times. That's great.
Please tell me your third time you had to buy a drink.
Hey, but you know, one of the things you want to do at a club, I know some of our listeners out there probably are members of this, you have hole-in-one clubs. And what you do is you pay like $10 a month to be a member of it. And if somebody makes a hole-in-one, it covers all the drinks in the bar. And what they normally do with this is if there's not enough hole-in-ones, there's a lot of money left over, they usually do a little road trip and go play golf somewhere. So the hole-in-one club, they used to be very, very popular. I don't really see much of that anymore. But if you're listening, you're at a club, start your hole-in-one club. It's the best thing you can do.
That's a great idea.
I was just going to say, that's a hell of an idea, and I'd never heard of it before. Was that one of your brainchilds, brother?
No, you know, I learned it when my dad, when I was growing up, Country Club Miami. My dad, the famous NFL player, he had to pay whatever it was per month. And what they would do, they put a little extra in every month. And not only did you cover all the drinks, they took a trip to the Bahamas to play golf with it. So, yeah, it's not an original idea, but it's something that you want to get involved with at your club if you're listening to this. And there's no charge.
Well, you know what?
Anybody.
Unfortunately. You were taking care of your family, and I went over to Dave Wills, talking about bourbon and cigars, the Florida Sports Hall of Fame event, and unfortunately, neither one of us made it over there to Ybor City, and I got great reports that it was an excellent event.
Yeah, it was. You know, I was in close contact with my fellow board members there, and I can tell you that we had a lot of Major League Baseball stars over there, other celebrities. We had bourbon, we had cigars. It was at the Tampa Baseball Museum, so it's a joint effort between the Florida Sports Hall of Fame and the Tampa Baseball Museum. And you have all kinds of notables that were there. Johnny Damon was there. He was he always supports our event in the best way possible. So anyway, yeah, and it's tough. He can't be everywhere one night, and I heard Dave Wills' tribute went very, very well, and he'll definitely be missed in the Tampa Bay sports scene.
Okay, now, we've been waiting for 50 minutes. Are you going to give us the update on the golf tournament that you two put on a cruise ship?
Yeah, so this was called the Wonder of the Sea Dunes Invitational, the golf course on top of the ship. And we call it a golf course because we don't want to use the word mini golf or putt-putt. This is the Dunes Invitational. It's the Dunes Golf Course, Wonder of the Seas, which is the largest ship in the Royal Caribbean Cruise Line right now. Next year, they're coming out with the Icons even bigger. But there are 9,000 people on the ship, so there's plenty of people to get involved and try to win the 9, Wonder 000. Woody Golf Trophy. So the Wonder Woody Golf Trophy is a handmade trophy that was won. I'll tell you who won that in a moment. But it was a handcrafted Weatherby 1994 work of art made out of wood. So if in case it fell overboard, it floats. So that was the trophy. So in golf lore, you've probably heard, way back since we talked a little history of golf, way back in the 1800s, you had old Tom Morris, the original champion of the early Open Championships. And then you had young Tom Morris, all right, who became even a better golfer. And I think he won the Open Championship 4 or 5 times. So this is in the day of the Hickory Shafts, everything. But you had the father and you had the son. So we had old Bill Sturrow was one of the contestants. But he got ousted and outlasted by young Will Sturrow, who was the champion. He scored for a 9-hole score of 27 on that golf course. And let me tell you, it's windy, the ship's rocking, the ball's... They actually don't even have real golf balls. They're made out of foam. So, if the ship rocks a little bit, your ball will roll off somewhere. The wind, it was definitely gusting hard. Will made a bunch of spectacular 20-foot putts. And young Will Sturrow is the champion of the Wonder of the Seas Dunes Invitational for 2023.
Well, did you guys have to buy him beverages, too?
Well, beverages... we're not included. We didn't do the drink packages, so we had to pull out of pocket for beverages. Let me tell you, they're very proud of the beverages on the Royal Caribbean Cruise Line. I can tell you that. Hey, while we're talking about Wild Bill Sturrow, just want to remind our listeners out there, Yank and Crank, if you go to the OnTheTeeFloridaGolf.com, our new website, you'll see a link to Yank and Crank, and this is Extreme Fishing Fashion. This is Bill's company, and you can click right there and buy a hat. And it's very fashionable, even if you're on the golf course, because Yank and Crank's a fishing term. But according to Mike Rickard, it's also what he does on the first tee.
You got that right. Hey, while we're winding things down, let's talk about the Tommy Prine concert that is coming up.
Oh yeah, I have. Tommy Prine is one of the hottest up and coming young singer songwriters. The son of John Prine, one of my heroes. And you know, I did this first show when he first went out on tour last year, and as a favorite of the family, because we're friends, you know. And since then, he's just blown up at Newport Folk Festival, done two tours of Europe, gone out and a couple of national tours. So he's coming back through, and on Thursday night, April 20th, we're going to have him over at the Palladium. So
I love that venue. That was the first time I went when you had your comedy event in January.
So we're bringing Tommy in for this year again, and really, really pleased to see him take off.
All right. Now, are you going to get out and do any golfing, or are you just preparing in your backyard?
Well, I got to do that first. My backyard now take 5 strokes off my game. Mike, I've built a putting green back there. And
I'm still waiting for my invitation.
It's not putt-putt. It's the real deal. It's
I saw the pictures. It's phenomenal.
Yeah.
Have you ever had one of those in your backyard there, John Rager? You probably haven't needed to because you had your own course, your managed course. You've always been around courses.
Well, I've always lived next to a golf course in my life. This is the first time I really haven't been that close to a golf course, living on the beach. But to tell you the truth, this is something that is really very, very popular. And I would recommend that anybody who's got the financial means and worthwhile to put a putting green in the backyard, it's a great thing to do. It really improves your game dramatically. But it's just fun out there. You know, it's fun for your family, too, and your friends that don't even play golf. You can have a good time with with our official
Absolutely.
Putting green.
Yes.
When COVID hit, we got locked down. We had nowhere to go. So I'm looking forward to
with the greens they build now, John, you can go out and do yoga on them and stuff like that. It's pretty versatile.
Well, yoga can be described as Mike Rickard trying to line up a putt. He's twisted into several different pretzel-shaped contortions to try to get down low and see which way it breaks.
Hey. Mark Ferguson has talked me into doing a yoga course twice a week with him at Ferg's, at the YMCA, and I never thought in my lifetime I'd hear Ferg bring up the term yoga and include me. But we're old.
We got to video this.
Oh, my God. It's going to be interesting.
No, not only do we have to video this, we got to get it posted on TikTok before they ban it. We'll get 12 million views.
John, they're going to need a spotter.
Yeah, I can't get up. Yeah, I'm going to have to wear my, what do you call those rescue things around your neck?
Oh, yeah, with your yoga pants.
Yeah, with my yoga pants.
You're not going to need a spotter. You're going to need a forklift.
Well, my friend, what's on? Hey, how are the girls? I just want to do a little shout out. Hope they're feeling better. You've done a good job of taking care of them. The reason that you didn't get ill is because of your personal habits, smoking a cigar and having an ice pick on the beach on a daily basis. Bravo.
Well, there's a lot to be said for that. I think getting good ample amounts of vitamin D from sunshine has something to do with that also.
All right. Well, we got 90 seconds. Have a great weekend, and I'll be talking to you next week. We're going to talk a lot next week about our traveling road show. We'll have Patty back down here, Carrie back down here. We'll have a lot of fun there. And then what we're going to be doing with our full swing golf lounge upstairs here at Ferg Sports Bar and Grill. So we'll talk about that next week as well, John. How about you? Anything
That's
exciting?
Fantastic.
No, I think this is going to be the first week I don't have a lot of things to do, so it'll be great.
Well, I appreciate you coming down, my friend. That's Tom Gribben. Gary McNally will be down next week, and Patty Suzette. And I'm going to try to get Holly Sanders down here sometime in the near future. But from the Ferg Sports Bar and Grill, 19th Hole Clubhouse Studios, I'm Mike Rickard for John Rager, Tom Gribben, Joe Boudreau, and Matt on the controls. Thanks for listening to On the Tee Florida. Stay tuned to the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection. And as always, God bless you. God bless America. Remember to keep it in the short grass and hit them straight.
WTAN Clearwater
FM 106.1
WDCF Dade City
FM 102.3
WZHR Zephyr Hills
FM 104.3
Listen.